Chavis Lavavit in Parakei is talking about the seven differences between somebody who is Oved HaKadosh Baruch Hu and works with Bitochen, and somebody that works without Bitochen. They're both doing Nishtadlis. What's the difference at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, and in the middle of the day also, as well as we'll see, between somebody, they seem to be, they could be on the same bench, in the same, everybody gets the next cubicle in the same job, two people working the same 9-to-5 job, same ishtadlos, just one of them is working with bitachon, one of them is working without the bitachon. What's the differences? So we already mentioned two last week, and we're going to continue. The person, the means, the job that he's actually working at is he decided to do that and he's continuing to do it because he knows that he has to be mishtadol in yeshuva shalaylam kidei to have parnasa, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's why he's doing it. But he's not samech specifically on this job any more than another job. This means any more than another means. He's not worried. It doesn't have to be dafka this. And if he's matzliach with this means, then he thanks Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you for giving me this job that's helping me have parnasa. And let's say he's not being matzliach in the job, then what does he do? How he's going to actually get the money at the end of the day, he doesn't know. But he's sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm being oisik in Yeshuva Shel Olam, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And therefore, now, he continues working at the job, even though he's not being matzliach at this exact moment, because this is his hishtadlus. To actually play this out properly, a person has to know exactly what to do. If he's working in a company, and then the company declares bankruptcy, there's no reason to still come into the office every day. There's nothing going on. There's no... like almost trying to sell Alka-Gel after Corona. There still is a parnasa. There is, maybe it's not as much. But ilumisha ena b'teich elikim hu oisik b'mtsay parnasas b'neishu b'teich alem shemim v'im loitelas m'tsilim min nezik v'im mtsay m'v'im loitelas m'shabeyas m'tsayim m'shabeyas m'tsayim sh'eshkiya b'em m'skeich ha'bechir shalai sh'nasim z'tsif v'lasim b'em. The person that's oisik in this job because without bitachon, so then he's same entirely on this job. And it's the job, and it's my business acumen that gave me that push to invest here, to invest my keches here. And Baruch Hashem, that I had this such a great idea myself. Baruch Hashem, it's really Baruch me. And he doesn't try anything else because he's sure that it's specifically this job. Therefore, since he's matzliach with his trapping, he offers a sacrifice to his nets, and he offers incense to his traps. In other words, he's samech entirely on his business. And if they're not mevi'im le'telos, then he's ma'isbam. I think maybe just an example, somebody just told me he was interviewing for a job in America, and in a certain field, and he interviewed with two people, and one person mentioned them. He says, like, I want you to sign with me for a certain amount of years. I'm not going to go ahead and teach you the parnasa, and then you're going to go ahead and go off on your own and become my competition. I don't need this. He says, and he interviewed by somebody else, and the other person says, for sure, if you would be able to work up and you'd be able to work by me and learn the trade and then go off on yourself and be able to do it, I couldn't be a happier person. There's not enough parnasa. If anyone doesn't have enough parnasa for both of us, it's not a... this person, no, this is what I'm doing, and you're going to take away my parnasa if you're going to be... this is the only thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me parnasa from, then if you're going to be my competition, what's going to be? Okay, he's not thinking like that, but Tifa Rain, there's a little bit of that there. A person is not Meshabech, listen here, we're being Isaac, we're both being Mishtadal together. The parnasa at the end of the day is coming from left field anyhow. Even if it's derech, these emzayim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to give it to me. And a lot of people, many, many people, they learn a trade and they don't use the trade. I would guess it's probably at least 50% of people that learn a trade and they don't use it. Certainly they're not their whole life. But even at the beginning, they learned this, they learned that. There were very, very many people that they went to school for A and they ended up in B. At the end of the day, where they got their parnasa from a totally different place. So we're both being mishtal together. Does it have to be here? It doesn't have to be here. Right now, this is the shtablis that we're doing. And Ramela, I'm not being samech specifically on this. I have the review. Beteich velekimim yesh li oidef al kidei mechiyasai. You might see oidef zeh baruch nediva b'leiv toiv v'dvarm sh'ayod miyasek ha-shashem yemrutsu imenu. Somebody that is working with bitochen in his mind, in the back of his mind, in the front of his mind, then if he makes more money than he needs, so then the extra money, the reason why I'm working is because I have to make a panos, I have to be mishtadl. I'm making more than I need. So what's this extra money for? Extra money is for what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it for. To help people that don't have food, to help people that don't have panos, to help chesed organization, to help yeshiva, to help... He uses it for the things that the Baruch Hu wants. K'mei shekotev ki mimcha hakol, miyadcha nasanu loch. Everything is from you, the Baruch Hu Shalom. When we give back to you, it's from you that we're giving to you. V'ilu mi she'enu b'teich v'elekim, somebody that's not working with bitachon, so then all the money that he makes is never going to be enough, because Mishu Yeshli moderates him aside. So yeah, right now he doesn't need this money, but who knows what and how many his children, his great grandchildren, he's going to have to pay for them and pay for their dearest and pay for their v'chulu v'chulu. To the point that he's going to not even going to pay attention, and he's going to lose all his money. Without even, at the end of the day, the money's going to be lost from him at some way or some halavai. It should be through tzedakah. That's the story that we mentioned in the past with Rabbi Yochanan's nephews, that they had a dream that they should lose 700 shekel over the course of the year, and he would continue to ask them for tzedakah over the course of the year, till again and again and again. And at the end of the year came Erev Rosh Hashanah. I think it was Erev Yom Kippur. Maybe it says. I can't remember. It says in Gemara, and they. There's a knock at their door, two nephews, and the police. Come with us. Why? Come with us. Into jail, thrown into jail. Kitzur Rav Yochanan comes running to them, and here's what happens, and he says, please give me an extra 17 shekel for tzedakah. So they say to him, why? So he said, because you had a dream that you have to lose 700 shekel, and so far over the course of the year, you gave 683, you're missing 17. And probably they took you because you have to pay the 17 shekel. It's either going to be to them that you're going to end up paying it, or you're going to pay it to me for tzedakah, so quickly give it to me. Kitzur, they quickly gave it to him. Sure enough, the warden comes, knocks on the door, making a mistake, you're free to go. Kitzur, they said to him, why didn't you tell us this beforehand? Tell us at the beginning of the year, to give someone a shekel, we'll write it out of the check, vizel. Then he's doing it because you know that you have to give the money. Here, every time that you gave the tzedakah, you had no idea that it's saving yourself from something else. You have no idea that. And you gave him mamash totally lishma. The person will lose the money at the end of the day if he has to lose the money. Chaval, that it shouldn't be given to. David Kaplan brings down a story in his book. He says that a certain, I think it was yeshiva, big yeshiva, asked somebody for a big donation. And in the tens of millions of dollars. And at the end of the day, the person didn't end up giving it. And instead he donated it to a zoo for the monkey park. Here in the monkey park. He says at the end of the day, he says, you see, a person needs a schut to give tzedakah. Tens of millions of dollars. It could go either to the monkey, or it could go and you'll have it lenetzach nitzachim. Halavai that a person should have the schut to be able to give it to the right place, and chaval, and somebody that doesn't. He says, K'moy she'omar melech ha'chocham, Shlomo HaMelech said, yesh mefazer v'noisaf oid. There are those people that they give out the money, and they get more. Melech momen choser, like Chazal saying sumis. If you want to salt away your money, you should always have it. Give it away. Somebody that saves back from yoishir, from doing something which is correct, achle machzer, she's just going to lose more money. Hevla chamishi. Oh, there's a story about, I heard about Rebenzion Dunner. Was nifter a few years back from London. And once made a mega deal. Also, I think in the tens of millions of what I heard was. And as soon as he made the money, he took 10% for himself and gave 90% to tzedakah. The exact opposite. not the 90% for himself and the 10% for the 10% for himself and the 90% for the zaka. What do you mean? You can invest more money. It's going. This is much more money than we need. And it's all straight off the tzedakah. That's exactly what he's saying over here. Ahel Khamishi Shabitech Lakim Oisik Bem Tzer Magashmin Kidesh Yuchal Och and Oyodim Tzedel Derech Shanafshet Tzedakah Lechaz Bayachar Moisik. This is like the Gemara says in Ksuvis, that I think was Marokfa, right before he was Nifter. He says, there's a long way and my suitcases are not full. He's going to the Netzach and Tzachim and he wants to make sure that he has enough Tzchuyus. Memela, he gave out a tremendous amount of Tzedakah. Well, it says, he's not supposed to be Vazim Moisik Mechermish, that's only when you're alive, when you're Nifter, it's okay. And Mela, a person is being Oisik in Emtsayim so that he could prepare for himself Tzedel Adarach, he calls it. You should have lots of, you should have what to live off of. And those means that he knows is not going to prevent him from being Oisik and Toro and Avodas Hashem, he invests himself into. But those things, those means that is going to cause him to curtail his chiyuvim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he's not going to be oisik in them properly. It's going to prevent him from being oisik in Torah and Avodah. Then, Einu oisik b'hem kedesh lo yavi al atzmi machal v'machom refuah. The whole purpose of why he's trying to invest, trying to make money, is that he should be able to live a life of Torah v'Avodah. I need to send my kids to a Jewish school, it costs money. I need to buy kosher food. I need to buy lulav esrog. I need to buy all the things that we need. It's only if you have the money. But mainly you spend the time making the money so you should be able to live a life of Avodas Hashem. To go ahead and invest in a type of job where it's going to cause a person to go against Avodas Hashem, he's not going to be able to daven now, he's not going to be able to learn, he's not going to be able to, he's going to have to step on people's toes, he's going to be in an environment which is not Yir Shamayim friendly, then it's counterintuitive. You're doing the exact opposite of what you're supposed to be doing with the job. The guy that's out there for the money, so it doesn't really make a difference. He's there for the money. He doesn't think about what's going to be after 120. The chacham is scared, and he stays away from anything which might prevent him from gaining access to Olam Haba. And the fool, Mesavar Beiteach, he's Meschazik and he's Beiteach, that nothing's going to happen. And the last, Hevdal HaShishi, just because I heard this story last night, so I'm going to mention it because it really comes up. Shabbateach Velekimu Ova Kol Sugi Anoshim Vim Semch Malavim Deishum Vituchim Baishim Shuhula Yigurim Lem Nezek. Somebody's Beiteach Velekim, everybody loves him because there's Semech on him that he's not going to cause them any Nezek. Because he's not out there to get them. He's totally semich on the Ribbono Shel Olam that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving him whatever he needs. So he's not going to cheat them. He's not going to try to steal from them. He's not going to. Mamela, everybody loves him. Velibam shalim itoy, and they're very happy with him. Veinei mefachdim menu on Hashem amayinim. They're not scared about their families, their money. Vugam kim batuach mehem. And he's also batuach that they're not going to do anything to him. Why? They shu yodeh Hashem biyodeh yichote shalach never lahavi loyteel as enezek. He's not worried about them because not because he knows that all the people that he's involved with are on such a high level. Rather, because all the people that he's involved with can't do anything if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want it to happen. Memela, he does what he's supposed to do. This is what I heard a story last night about Rav Pinchas Grumman, Zatzal, who was just nifter, Rav in Los Angeles, and many years back, I heard this from his brother, Nachum Stillerman. Yes. Grumman and Stillerman, the brothers. Many years back, he was a rav in a certain shul, and a very influential member was making a kiddush. And right before the kiddush, there was some issue that the fire had gone out underneath the challenge or the kugel, and because there's no challenge. The question was, can they ask a guy? Whatever the situation was, they came to ask Rav Pinchas, and he said, no, you cannot. Kitzer, when it came down to the kiddush, at the end of the day, they offer the rav the first portion of steamy hot shalom. This is what's going on over here. So they said, oh, there was other rabbanim here, and we asked them, and they said it was okay to ask a guy, Mimela. So he turns to the influential member, and he says to him, you're a little bit more, you have a better way politically correct than I am. So I suggest that you tell the Olam that it's also for them to eat the chalent. Because if I'm going to have to do it, I'm not so politically correct, and it's not going to be so bishmak. So the guy says, I'm not telling them nothing. This is all my people came in. He says, listen here, it's just the chalent. All the rest of the thing, the cake and the liver and the fish and everything else that you have, the herring, it's all good. The chalent, one thing. Nothing doing, I'm not saying anything. Sir, he gets up and he says, Rabbi Yisai, the chalent is treif. You're not allowed to eat it. Not allowed to eat it. Oh, I missed it. Sorry. I ruined the story. Kitzer, he says, if you don't tell him, I'm going to tell him. He says, if you tell him, if you get up and say something, then you can find yourself a new job tomorrow morning. He gets up there and he says, Rabbi Yisai, the chalent is treif. Sure enough, they had a meeting. Monday morning, he found himself without a job. Then the story was that he stayed on good terms with this person. When the person he needed financial aid, he helped him. The Rav helped him. And when he was in the hospital, he went to visit him every day. He didn't bear a grudge. What's up, Shad? How is a person able to do that? He lost his job because of it. And how is he able to stand up and say it if he knew that his job was on the line? Because no one can do anything if the Rav doesn't want it. And then Mela, I did what's right. You asked the Rav Shaila. The Rav told you that it's awesome. And that's it, it's awesome. You go asking other people and Bechulu. You have to know that there's a situation. That's the Kayach. Somebody is talking about this Baruch, who is willing to do what's right. He knows right now I'm about to lose my job. So that's it. I'll do it anyhow because this is what the Rebbeinu Shalom wants. I'm not worried. It's not anybody else. And if the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't want it, then they wouldn't have had the meeting on Sunday or Monday and he wouldn't have lost his job. He knows it. And the Mela, that's it. Put it into the Rebbeinu Shalom's hands. And b'teich on him, and therefore, at the end of the day, they all came around and everybody loves him. As he says that, could be at the beginning, talk of people aren't going to like him for things that he did. But b'etzem alzta, being nervous and scared about him, certainly no one's worried that he's going to do anything to harm them, because he's not there for himself. If anything, he's there for the Rebbeinu Shalom. For himself, he's not there. Suppose the mili she'ena b'teich relikim, ein lo yoyavim. He doesn't have any friends, really. He might have his group of friends, but he's not out there. He's not the big person that everybody likes to be in. They maybe want to get some of his money. But no one really wants to be buddy-buddy with this guy because they know that he's his business. He'll take anybody down in his business. He'll send anybody flying to be able to make what he wants, to make the money that he wants. He blames everything on everybody else. Maybe nobody really wants to be around him. They want his money, but they don't want his friendship.